Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of OEM TV. My name is Eric Mills. I do Windows Server Marketing for the US OEM team at Microsoft, and I'm very pleased to have with me today the man, Sandeep Mitra.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. So Sandeep has this fabulous title. He's the Director of Worldwide Windows Server Product Management for the OEM team. Did I get that right?
That's right. I love server, man.
All right. This is going to be a great episode. I'm glad you tuned in. We're going to talk about the additions of Windows Server. We're going to talk about virtualization. We're going to talk about how to sell servers, why you should buy an on-premises server, and why you should buy an OEM license with that server. So if you sell servers, if you sell OEM server licenses, you're going to get a lot out of this show. So let's go ahead and get started here. All right, Sandy, what kind of trends are we seeing in the server business right now?
That's a great question, because we've begun to feel several years ago, and it's accelerating now, is this trend where we see people moving to the cloud. And so therefore, the number of hardware, the number of physical servers being sold is actually declining every year.
So for traditional on-premises IT use, those servers are declining.
That's right.
Right.
And as I said, the one trend that's driving that decline is this move to the cloud, which is a good thing overall, because there are many benefits to doing that, and
definitely
there are many great solutions out there. The other thing that's driving this trend is really an increasing momentum towards virtualization among small businesses,
right,
SMBs, because with virtualization there are many benefits that we'll go into in a few minutes. But what this also means is the opportunity for us to attach licenses to physical servers is declining every year. However, there is a positive trend within this, these two dynamics that I talked about. The positive trend is this growth in virtualization. And what it does is it represents an opportunity for us, because there are now more VMs, virtual machines, running on individual servers, mm-hmm, on physical hardware, right? And that has been accelerating, the number of VMs. And there's been this tremendous acceleration in the install base of VMs out there. So if you think of licensing, if you think of this opportunity and you change your paradigm and we start thinking about it, not so much as I need to attach a license to a physical server as we used to think about it in the past, but that every VM really needs to be properly licensed,
right?
That begins to sort of address a whole different growing opportunity set out there. And I think that's something we all really need to wrap our head around and see how we take advantage of a growing trend instead of what's really a declining market. And I think that's also a very exciting technology that has many benefits for customers, so that's a good story.
Yeah, this is a great story for customers, as you bring up. They can now run more virtual machines on every physical server. So
they're
essentially doing more with less, which is what virtualization lets you do. So if I understood correctly, we're selling fewer physical servers for traditional on-premises IT uses, but virtualization is hot and it's going up. And so we need to capture those virtualization licenses.
That's right.
And how do we do that?
That's right. So licensing is pretty easy, and it's basically, first you sell a base license,
okay,
right? And as you mentioned the additions up front, Eric, there are primarily four different types of base licenses. We have the Foundation Edition, we have Essentials, we have Standard or Data Center, right? If you're virtualizing, really where you want to focus is Standard or Data Center. And with Standard, you get this rich functionality of Windows Server, right? It's a powerful platform. It comes with built-in Hyper-V hypervisor,
uh-huh,
and you don't have to pay extra for it, right? And it's the same features that you get on Data Center. But with Standard, what you're buying is you're buying the rights to have two VMs running on that server. With Data Center, you have unlimited rights. So when should you choose one versus the other, right? If your customer is stepping their way into virtualization, they're learning about it, not quite sure how much they'll virtualize, it's probably okay to start with Standard.
Sure.
And then you stack licenses on top of it as you need. And you can do this as you go along, or you can kind of go to, okay, maybe I'll use four VMs to start with. Sort of that start small and grow. On the other hand, for many customers, they already know that they live in demanding IT environments where, they need a certain amount of potentially disaster recovery scenarios, right? They need high availability. They already know that they have intensive requirements where they'll be running a lot of VMs, right? In those situations, it's probably more economical to start with data center.
Sure.
Right? Because after a point, it's no longer economical to keep adding in additional licenses. So that's the way to choose between standard or data center, right? The functionality is rich. You don't pay for a hypervisor, and you virtualize, and you get all the benefits of that. On the other hand, companies that are just starting out, not really going to virtualize a lot, they probably just need a file server or just an email server or something. Essentials and Foundation are great solutions for those customers as well. So it's fairly easy to kind of start with that. As we discussed, step two is really understanding the customer's needs for more and seeing if you need to add additional licenses to stack VMs. And step three is make sure we always ask the customer how many employees or devices will connect so that we can sell them the right number of CALs, which are, as you know, client access licenses. And CALs are required for standard and data center, not for essentials and foundation. So it's really a fairly simple conversation, understanding a customer's needs and then suggesting the right solution to them and then making sure they're fully compliant with the right number of CALs.
All right, pop quiz, Sandeep. Don't we bundle CALs with the operating system?
We no longer do that. So CALs used to be bundled in previous versions of Windows Server, but with Windows Server 2012 R2 or with 2012, CALs are no longer bundled. And so customers need to buy CALs either for devices, the number of devices that will connect to the server, or for the number of users. If each user uses multiple devices, it's probably more economical to go that route.
Right. Okay, good. Makes sense. Thanks. So now let's talk about why should people buy a server in the first place?
That's right. Why can you not just, if you're starting out, why can you not do with just a desktop under your desk?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of small businesses just want to start out with a desktop under the desk. And the thing to remind them is that a desktop is made of desktop class components, not server class components. They're not meant to run 24/7. They're not meant to have any kind of redundancy. It's really a desktop machine is mostly meant to minimize the cost. And so a server just has different needs. And it's important to remind customers what problems the server solves for them. Like, why do they need that server in the first place? And so, you know, if you sell servers, here's just some points that you may be able to use to help customers understand how servers meet their needs. First of all, if you need to share files and resources, there's no substitute for that on-premises server because your files and resources are going to be local. They're not going to be across your internet connection somewhere where you're limited by your bandwidth. And they're going to be accessible from anywhere still. So if you're at home, if you're traveling, you can still access everything all in one place. And it's got rights management built into it so that some people can access some files and other people can access other files. And it's fairly robust so that everybody gets access to what they need from anywhere. An on-prem server is great for that. Secondly, it's security, right? So when you have that on-prem server locally and you are responsible for the physical security and the data security there, you know that it's taken care of or you know that it's not taken care of. But either way, you feel responsible and empowered to manage that server in the way that you see fit. So even though it's accessible from anywhere and your files and resources are well organized, the security is going to be up to you. So if you have extremely important data on that, then you can ensure how the server is physically secured and how the files are secured. Next is simplified management. So servers have historically had a bad reputation for being complex and hard to manage, right?
That's right. This is important that servers have come a long way, Eric.
Absolutely.
And, you know, depending on which edition you buy, et cetera, I mean, it's no longer really hard to have a server or even to set it up or manage it.
Right. And if you check out the Essentials Edition video on OEM TV, you can see exactly how easy it is to manage a server these days. But we have dashboards like Server Manager and Essentials Dashboard that make it very easy to do all the day-to-day tasks that you need to do. So servers are much easier to manage before now than ever before. And then last, an important reason to buy a server is to take advantage of virtualization. You know, you can do a lot more with one or two servers now than you could do in the past. You can, you know, in the past, you may have put each application on a separate physical server, but now with virtualization, you can put them in separate virtual machines and get all the cost savings and all the additional benefits that come with virtualization. So servers are now more cost effective than ever.
So Eric, we talked about why people need a server, but let's talk about what kind of solution you want, whether it's on-prem or cloud. And we know that cloud's been in the news a lot lately, and there's a sense that for a lot of people who don't necessarily understand the cloud, it's really important for us to first understand how customers will use their servers and what other factors that we need to consider before deciding on cloud versus on-prem. And it's really not one is better than the other situation. It's really dependent on needs. So let's talk about a few factors. One is regulations, compliance, requirements. And depending on where you live, there might be the industry you operate in or the country you operate in, there might be very specific regulatory and compliance requirements that may actually mandate that you have to have your server on premises.
Sure.
There's a second factor here, which is actually very practical. It's about performance. It depends on what kind of bandwidth you have and how far you live from a data center. Let's say you want to put something in a cloud and you live really far away, the latency, which is how far does the data have to travel to and from that cloud server, that could have performance implications. And it's important to understand that based on what applications you will run, et cetera.
Sure. I think it's also important to talk about how mission critical is your application. And if your application is up in the cloud versus locally and your internet connection goes down, you've just lost the ability to transact business right there. And that's super important for a restaurant or a retail establishment or someone that just, they can't just start turning orders, turning customers away if an internet connection goes down. So I see a lot of people buying an on-premises server for that reason.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Also think about this. Cloud gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of how you pay for the services you consume. Mm-hmm. But it's a little hard if you don't have experience. It's a little hard to predict how much you'll pay. So for example, something as simple as backup, right? And cloud backup is awesome. Don't get me wrong, it's very safe, and because it's off-premises, there are many benefits. But then the question is, how do you calculate your costs? Because when you start backing up, you may think about your data needs being, I need to get back up a terabyte of data. But have you deduped your data? Have you, over a period of time, does your data grow? Do you keep multiple copies? And suddenly, before you know it, that actually may not be 1 terabyte, it may be more. And so there's nothing wrong with it if you can predict how much you will do it, but it just feels like unless you know what you're getting yourself into, it's good to understand, you know, that there is a certain amount of predictability when picking an on-premises solution. And if that's important to you, then on-prem can be right.
Okay.
Also, you know, we just talked about the flexibility of paying something on an ongoing basis versus ponying up money up front, right? That's absolutely a benefit, the CapEx versus OpEx conversation. It's, you know, there are benefits. But, you know, there are certain times when upfront payments make sense. If you're a small business, think about it this way. You have a budget and that as an IT department and your budget expires at the end of fiscal year. Right? We all know that. I mean, budget, you have a certain amount of money. It's going to, if you don't use it, you lose it. So then if you have a certain amount of money and you need to invest it, an on-premises solution can make sense. You invest in a technology which is going to last you for a long time, and you may not have money to actually subscribe on an ongoing basis. You know, this, depending on your financial situation, could make sense at certain times.
Right. There's a lot of benefit to knowing exactly what something is going to cost and exactly what you're going to get.
Correct.
Sure.
And, you know, finally, you know, again, very practical considerations, like if you have a lot of legacy applications or if certain applications are very, very specific to your business, you know, it may not be possible always to port these over to the cloud because, you know, the guy who wrote the code may no longer be around.
Sure.
And, you know, who's going to manage it? Who's going to make sure that it works in a different environment and so on? So sometimes it's like, hey, this thing just needs to sit here and keep running because it's a legacy app and my environment is a legacy environment and I don't necessarily feel like I have the technology to modernize everything in one shot.
Sure.
So these are just some practical considerations. It's important for us to understand how much each of these and other factors like these influence a customer's decision before we recommend on-prem or cloud. So again, it's part of the overall strategy. There's no right or wrong decision.
All right, we have talked about why you should buy a server. We have talked about why it makes sense to buy an on-premises server. Now let's talk about why an OEM server license makes sense. And I know that you love OEM and I love OEM. So let's talk about how to sell OEM. All right. Oftentimes when customers think about OEM, they think about the simplicity and the effectiveness of the license. With an OEM server, there's no downloads, there's no passwords, there's no contracts. You get everything you need in the box ready to go. So you can start executing right away. Also with OEM, the OEMs themselves have the ability to modify the Windows Server image itself, and they're able to include drivers and other software that make it an optimized installation experience for you. And you can't get that outside of OEM. So when you get that OEM image, you know that it's been tested and certified to run on that OEM server by the OEM to give you the best optimal experience.
And Eric, this is really important for both customers as well as, you know, our partners who are selling this stuff, because think about it. It's really frustrating to have to go chasing after drivers, and it's time consuming. And so what would you rather be doing? Wouldn't you rather be selling, you know, value-added consulting solutions and services rather than be chasing around after drivers and wasting your time? So, you know, and customers also don't want to be sitting around waiting for a driver. So this is something that we don't talk about often enough, but this is actually a really cool benefit.
Right. And we have a recent white paper that we've seen from one of our server OEMs that talks about the actual amount of time that you save. And the report shows that customers save an average of 3 hours per server when they use the OEM software. And we'll do a separate episode on that. Look for that. But the next benefit of OEM that's a big deal is the support, right? When you buy an OEM server operating system, you get support on that operating system from the OEM. And so when you can get the OS and the hardware, the server hardware, and the CALs all from one place, just makes it easier to buy and easier to get the support that you need from the server OEM. The next reason to buy OEM is it has the exact same downgrade and virtualization rights as our other license types like volume licensing. So if you buy Windows Server 2012 R2, but you want to use 2012 or 2008, you can do that with OEM, just like you could do it with volume licensing. And as I mentioned, the virtualization rights are the same. So there's a misconception that some people think, you know, if you buy an OEM server license, then you can't migrate your virtual machines between servers. But that is simply not true. An OEM server license is tied to the hardware, but the virtual machines created on that hardware are not tied to any specific hardware. So you can move those virtual machines around as you need to. Same virtualization rights, same downgrade rights as volume licensing. All right, so now let's move on to talk more about virtualization, Sandy.
Right, and Eric, this is really important. We've been talking about virtualization as this cool thing where, you know, customers have a lot of benefits, and from a licensing perspective, it enables us to sell more and, you know, kind of sell more of the right solutions, etc. But really, is virtualization something that's relevant for small businesses, or is it something only large enterprises need? Is it only relevant once a customer gets to a certain size? And honestly, you know, SMBs are absolutely the right people to be using virtualization, right? Because they have the same, in a lot of ways, they have the same technology and cost needs and security needs as large companies. It's not like they need less technology. And SMBs are virtualizing, as a matter of fact, right? We know that virtualization is projected to grow about 17% annually, and this is a study we got this year from AMI. And we know that SMBs love the cost savings that come with virtualization. So, you know, I just want to frame this and say, you know, virtualization in the past used to be one of these exotic and somewhat intimidating technologies. That's no longer true. And it is really relevant and has many benefits for small businesses as well, small and medium businesses.
Right. Good. Yeah. You know, we have another video on OEM TV that talks about an intro to virtualization. You definitely want to check that out. But let me just give you a really short snapshot of the benefits of virtualization for small and medium businesses. First of all, as we've discussed, you decrease your costs when you virtualize. Simply, you can do more with less. You can run more applications on less, on fewer physical servers. That saves you money because, A, you don't have to spend as much on physical servers. B, I don't have to pay as much to house the servers, to put them in a rack if I'm paying by the number of if I have a 2U server or a 4U server. The fewer U's you have, the less you're going to spend there. Power, cooling, maintenance, it's all decreased with virtualization. So next is increased availability and uptime. With live migration and some of the other technologies built into Hyper-V, you can keep your servers up longer than ever before. Next is improved security and data protection. So when you're able to separate your applications into separate virtual machines, you greatly reduce the risk of malware or any malicious software moving between applications because those virtual machines are isolated and separated. So you increase your security there. Next, improved application management and server management. The new tools that we have to manage your servers make it so much easier than ever before to access everything from the server manager and from the Essentials dashboard that you need to manage your server. So it's much easier than ever before. And then last, disaster recovery and business continuity. Once you virtualize, you can take advantage of Hyper-V Replica that allows you to make a copy of your virtual machine and send that across to another server every 30 seconds. So in case of a natural disaster, you can recover very quickly. And that's a big deal, right, Sandy?
It's a big deal because, I saw this stat from the FEMA, which is in the U.S., the Federal Emergency Management Agency. It's a government agency. And they did a study and showed that 40% of businesses that lose their data never recover. They never get back into business. And that's a shockingly, sobering thought. That it's not just about, my server's down. It's like if you lose your data, it could be customer data, it could be financial information, it could be product information. And it's not just for the time that your server was down, like my server was down today, but you could literally be out of business.
You lose your livelihood.
And that's, and many SMBs don't have plans in place to, react.
Yeah,
if there is a disaster. So it's something I think you should we should talk about and think about, and especially because it's built into Windows Server.
Exactly. I mean, before they just couldn't afford.
Right.
Business disaster recovery solutions were too expensive.
That's
now
right.
It's built into the OS. It's just a much better value proposition for SMB.
So we talked about a lot of things today. We talked about, the market trends, how hardware is declining, and virtualization, however, is increasing, and therefore the opportunity is shifting. And it's really important for us to shift our own thinking about where the opportunity is. We also talked about, if you're buying a server, why should you buy a server? And then how you make the decision between on-premises and cloud, and that it's not a right versus wrong or this is the latest technology versus old technology problem. It's really a question of how you're going to use it, and it's what is your overall IT strategy.
Sure.
Right? And then we talked about when to choose OEM licenses and when to choose volume licenses, because Microsoft has both options. And there are many benefits to choosing OEM licenses. And there are misconceptions out there, and it's important for us to be clear about what each can do and not do. We talked about virtualization, right? And that it's right for SMBs, and there are many benefits. And that it's really affordable now because Hyper-V, which is the hypervisor from Microsoft, is built into Windows Server. So you don't have to go out and pay for an expensive hypervisor to put on top of your OS, right? So it's affordable. We just talked of hypervisor versus our competitors. And the reality is when you're talking of a server OS, whether you use Microsoft's Hyper-V or VMware or some other hypervisor, you still need an underlying OS. And Windows Server has so many benefits that we believe it's, however you choose to virtualize, you should still choose Windows Server for all the OS benefits it offers. And then finally, we talked of CALs and how we really need to size our customers' IT environments and make sure that we give them the right number of CALs, the right type and number of CALs so that they're compliant. I want to throw in one final point there because it's very topical, it's very timely right now, is we didn't talk about it yet, but I want to throw this out there as sort of a bonus point out there. SQL Server 2005, right? That is going to go end of support in the middle of April this year. And that's just about 2 months away. And many customers are still using SQL Server 2005. And we know that after end of support, there will be no more Microsoft patches and security fixes and so on. So customers' data will be vulnerable. But here's another hidden opportunity in this. We also know that a majority of SQL Server 2005 instances are actually running on Windows Server 2003 operating system. And what do we know about Windows Server 2003?
Support is over for Windows Server 2003.
A year ago, in July 2015, which means customers continuing to use SQL Server 2005 will be on a database system which is not supported,
right,
probably on an OS that's not supported. And that is just a disaster waiting to happen. So this is really an opportunity for us to go talk to our customers. And if they don't need SQL Server, great. But we should always kind of dig deeper and find out what OS they're running underneath, because it's a dual opportunity for us. So I wanted to throw that out there as something that's very timely now with just 2 months to go before end of support.
All right. Great. Thanks for bringing us home, Sandeep. Thanks for joining us on the episode here today. We're going to wrap it up. This will not be the last time you hear from the man, Sandeep Mitra, at Microsoft. Thanks for joining us. We love OEM. We love servers. And we'll see you next time on OEM TV.